Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 12. 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. And when we cancel and uncancel and rebook camp, well, you lose out on your special speaker. So you're stuck with me tonight, but I hope it will be a blessing to you anyway. I want to challenge you with one specific thought tonight. And I want to be able to help each of you as you think about this week that's ahead, the preaching of God's word that you will hear, so that you can be ready and you can be prepared for God to speak to you. And so we're going to talk tonight about how we can be prepared. Be prepared. You know, in every area of life where there's something to be accomplished, in every major accomplishment in life, coming along with that is a requirement for preparation. Some of you just graduated. There was some preparation involved. You didn't just show up on the day you walked the line and said, here, I'm here, I need my hat and my tassel and my gown. Like, wait a minute. But you never showed up to school. Now, there's some preparation that goes into that. Graduation. There's some preparation that goes into getting ready for marriage and being mature in that position. There's some preparation that's involved in a career, a job that you might want to pursue, something you might want to do. It takes time to learn that. I mean, consider the preparation of a professional athlete. This is why most of you can't go out and run a marathon tomorrow. You will be running with us on the blindfold run tomorrow. You don't have to wear a blindfold, but you will be running. But thankfully, it won't be anywhere near the 26 miles you would need to run in order to run a marathon, thankfully. Because that would take, what? Some preparation. Preparation is vital. But it's as vital in the spiritual realm as it is in the physical realm. I was reading in my devotion just a few days ago, and I read this passage, and I've read it before, but God brought out a truth again to me that just so shocked me. And I want to share it with you tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and this is God's assessment of King Rehoboam's life. It's almost like a summary. Like God is taking us through all of Rehoboam's life in just a couple of verses. And you know some things about King Rehoboam. You realize that he was Solomon's son, and he took over the kingdom after Solomon. And you remember the story about the nation gathering themselves and asking for relief from the taxes and the burden that was upon them. Rehoboam went to Solomon's wise men, the wise men from his father, and they said, you need to listen to them. They're making a valid point, and if you are kind to them, they will be loyal to you. And he didn't like that answer, and so he went to the young men, those his buddies, those that he was used to hanging out with, and he got advice from them. What should I do? How should I handle that? And of course, you remember they told him, this is how you do this. You tell those bunch of sorry losers that they haven't seen nothing yet until they get done with you. Because you are Mr. Tough Guy. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, surprise, surprise, Rehoboam goes, me, tough guy. I'm glad somebody got me pegged. Had to find a few of my buddies to tell me that, but that sounds good to me, so that's what we're going to do. And of course, you know that he split the kingdom. And so the northern tribes went their way. Thankfully, through God's preservation, there were still two tribes in the south. And because of the departure from God that the northern kingdom had, with them setting up those golden calves and them going and worshiping there, many of the Levites from across, because you remember, Levites, they didn't have a specific area. They lived just all over Israel. Many of those that would seek the Lord, the Levites, came down to the southern kingdom and became part. It's like having all the preachers come down and became part of that new little nation, the nation of Judah. And so Rehoboam, you know, he made some mistakes. He did some things that were wrong, but there was some potential for him to walk in the footsteps of his father and be a good king. And we realize that that didn't take place. That didn't happen. And the assessment here in 2 Chronicles 12 tells us why. And you may be surprised. Look in verse number 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 13. So, King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naaman an Ammonitess. And here's the truth in verse 14. And he did evil. Rehoboam, God is telling us, he's assessing his life, and he's telling us that Rehoboam did evil. Wow. Why did he do evil? Did your eyes read ahead? He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. What a surprising assessment. So God is telling us that the major failure, the major problem with Rehoboam was not that he discounted necessarily the advice of his father's wise men, although that was part of it. But that wasn't the thing that God chose to mention here. It wasn't because of specific actions, although I'm sure he was involved in those evil actions, but God, he boils it all down for us, and he says, Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You know, we as Christians like to throw around a lot of cliches, spiritual cliches. We do it in our prayers, and we do it in our fellowship, and while the words are good, they can easily lose their meaning. And this phrase, preparing your heart to seek the Lord, is one of those cliches. Sometimes the meaning is lost upon us. But let's take a step back tonight and consider what it means to prepare your heart. The definition of this idea of preparing is this. It's the basic purpose. Preparing means to establish, to ready, to fix yourself upon, to be prearranged or preordained. Prepare. And then what are we supposed to prepare? That's a question. Prepare your heart. What is your heart? Your heart is made up of three things. When God mentions the heart is your thoughts, your feelings, your desires. So what God is telling us is that Rehoboam did not prearrange, preordain, ready, fixate, or establish his thoughts, his feelings, and his desires toward the Lord. And because he did not do that, here's another question, so think with me. Because he didn't do that, what did he wind up doing? Verse 14. What's that? Evil. He did evil because he did not prearrange, preordain his thoughts, his feelings, his desires, and point them in the direction of God. I want to challenge you tonight that this is a good opportunity for you right here and right now to prearrange your thoughts and your feelings and your desires. You would point your direction towards God to hear from God. I promise I'll give you an outline because I know some of you are like, I think I missed it. I can see it all over your faces, all right? You'll get some points, but write some things down as God speaks to you. We'll get to the outline in just a little bit. Turn to another verse real quickly. And we are going to kind of move around tonight a little bit, but turn to Psalm 123. And I wish I would have had time to kind of set up an illustration based on this verse, but I think you can understand what it means based on what is said here. Psalm 123, in verse number 2. Psalm 123, verse number 2. May I have a volunteer stand and read that. Psalm 123, verse 2. Not all at the same time. I know you're very anxious to do this. Joel. Psalm 123, verse 2. Sorry, go ahead.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait. so that he have mercy upon us.
So that verse paints a picture for us, right? What's the picture? The picture is of a servant who is attending his master, and his master is about something. He's about a job. He's about a duty. He's on a mission. He's doing something, and the mission of the servant is to be an aid to him. And what does it say the servant is to do, or a servant does? Did you pick up on it? A servant. We left our brains on the bus, I know. Say it out loud. A servant does what? Looks to what? The hands of his master. And you know why that is? You know a little bit about culture from back then, and that a master wouldn't necessarily have the time to divvy out everything that needs to be done. That servant was supposed to be there, and he was supposed to be watching the master's hand. And when the master had a need, if a master was at a dinner and he was busy doing what he, you know, making those relationships, doing the business deals, whatever it is, the master wouldn't have time to say, here's all the needs that need to be done. But he would have a relationship with his servant to just say, get the idea? The servant's just watching the hand. And the hand is saying, see this need right here? No words exchanged. Here's my drink. It needs to be filled. I want some more of this. Maybe perhaps there was a noise outside and he just kind of go check that out, make sure it's all right, and make sure everything's okay, no problems. All he had to do was just make a motion with his hand. And I thought about preparing our heart for the Lord. A prepared heart is focused on the hand of God. It's looking at the hand of God, waiting for the slightest direction so that it can immediately be fulfilled. He's just waiting. If you read Rehoboam's life, and we don't have time to do it tonight, but I was just reading it in my devotions, there were times in which he had interactions with God. But every one of his interactions took God taking a 2x4 and basically whacking him upside the head. So you remember he goes with his friend's advice, and of course the kingdom splits. Now what are you going to do? Well, Rehoboam's a tough guy, right? So he says, well, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to war. All right, and he gathers up all the men of Judah, and they're like, we're going to invade Israel. We're going to tell them what's what, and we're going to show them who's boss. And here comes God with a 2x4. He has to send a prophet and say, Rehoboam, you will do no such thing. You go home. This is your own doing. We're not going to have fighting between the nation of Israel. We're not going to have civil war in the nation of Israel. It's not going to happen. Go home. God has to knock him over the head. See, his heart wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared to hear from God. God had to hit him over the head just to get his attention. Rehoboam, think about this picture now. Rehoboam was in the back of the bus when he should have been in the front of the bus. You know how hard it is. If I got something to say to somebody in the back of the bus, how long it takes to get so-and-so's attention in the back of the bus because he can't hear. But sitting right there, I can just say, hey Joel, could you open this for me? Could you pick that up for me? Joey's in the back of the bus. I can't do that for him. I mean, I can't even yell that loud. And even then, if I could, he probably wouldn't even hear me. Do you get the picture? Rehoboam was in the back of the bus. God was in the front. His heart was not prepared. He was not sitting before God saying, what do you have for me? And that really tonight ought to be your attitude. It ought to be your desire to sit before God this week and with a desire in your heart. I want to hear from God. Is that your heart tonight? Did you come with a hunger and a desire? God, would you speak to me? Would you meet this need, spiritual need in my life? I've got to hear from you. If that's not your heart, your heart's not prepared. I've got some good news. You can prepare your heart tonight, and I'm challenging you to do that. And if you prepare your heart, God's going to speak to you. He's got to speak to you. Instead of, like Rehoboam over and over again, God had to interrupt his life every time God wanted to speak to him. Let's talk about a couple things tonight when it comes to heart preparation. And I just did a study in God's Word. You know, are there any other times, you know, this is a pretty strong statement here. Are there any other times where God talks about people who prepared their heart? And we're going to look at a few of those as quickly as we can. Number one, I want to show you the prominence or the importance of heart preparation. The importance of heart preparation, because here in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we find that Rehoboam's heart, because it was not prepared, it spelled the difference between him being a successful king and him being a failure as a king. That makes this issue very, very important. If you turn ahead to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, you see an example, an opposite example. 2 Chronicles 19, in verses 2 and 3, and it talks about a man named Jehu. Now, Jehu had a lot of problems in his life, but we're told something here that's very important. It says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him. I'm sorry, this is Jehoshaphat. I got crossed there. This is Jehoshaphat. Jehu's the prophet. He went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So Jehoshaphat did something that was not smart, something that was unwise. He made a mistake, but do you notice what happened in verse 3? It says, nevertheless, but. Yeah, you made a mistake, but there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. So Rehoboam was a failure and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart. And even though there were some mistakes in the life of Jehoshaphat, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. And so God gave him some mercy. You see a little bit about the importance. This is the difference between a failed king and a successful one in God's eyes. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We see another instance where preparing our heart is so incredibly important. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 3. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3. We find another king that had prepared his heart, and God had a message for him. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 3, and I'm not sure that's the right verse. I'm in 2 Samuel, that's why. I'm reading the verse and it doesn't make any sense because I'm in the wrong book. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 3 says there, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and, here's our phrase again, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Do you know what happens? Because they wind up following this advice and preparing their hearts, they win the victory. So the importance of heart preparation is the difference between a failed king and a prosperous, successful one. It's the difference between experiencing victory in your life or experiencing defeat, like the Israelites. One more, go to Ezra chapter 7. Here's another instance in which we see this phrase, preparing your heart. Ezra chapter 7, and look there in verse 10. Ezra 7, verse number 10. We have a volunteer stand and read that. Ezra 7, verse 10. First one. We don't know where Ezra is? Okay, Jordan. Thank you for helping me out, Jordan. Ezra 7, verse 10.
For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments.
You know who Ezra was, don't you? He was the one that led a group of people back into the land. They had been in captivity, but now everything was going to change. Why did God use him? Why was there a great victory, a great change that was here? You read it, right? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. We see the prominence of heart preparation. We also see the practice. And some of you may be wondering, okay, we're supposed to prepare our hearts, and we see that it made the difference in Rehoboam's life between failure and being successful. It made the difference for the Israelites between being defeated in battle and having victory in battle. It made the difference with the nation of Israel, with Ezra, between the defeat of status quo and the accomplishment of going back to the land. It's important, but how do we do it? Well, I think the Bible has some answers for us. Let's go to Psalm chapter 10 and verse 17. I told you we're going to look at a lot of verses, so I'd like someone to read that verse. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 17. How do we prepare our hearts? What are some practical things that we can do so that we are ready, that our eyes are looking to the hand of our master, so he just gives the slightest motion and we act? How do we make sure that we're in the right place? Step number one, Psalm 10 and verse 17. Bertina, can you stand and read that? Lord, thou hast heard the desire of who? The humble. And here's a beautiful thing. When we're humble, God helps us to prepare our hearts. Did you see that? Step number one, the practice of heart preparation is humility. The opposite of humility is, I'm doing okay. I don't really need much from God. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I don't got any real needs in my life. You know, I've got everything under control. Everything is good. That's pride. Humility is, oh, I need Christ. I need God to do a work in my life. I've got to have humility. And when we are humble, step number one, God helps us to prepare our heart. Let's see step number two. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Volunteer to read that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Who will do that? Emmeline, thank you for volunteering. When you find Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, would you stand and read? Luke 1, verse 17. Step one is humility. Step two, see if you can find it. You can identify it yourself from Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. 17. Do you know who this is talking about? Who's this talking about? Somebody give me an answer. John the Baptist, all right? And he was to go before the person of Jesus, and he was to preach a message. If you could summarize the message of John in one word, what would it be? Starts with the letter R. Repent. That was his message. And it says there, he sent him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn, to cause to repent the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And when that happened, when repentance takes place, there's a people that's ready, prepared for the Lord. Step number two is repentance, being willing to turn. Having attitude that, God, whatever you show me, I am yours. Whatever you point your finger at, whatever you touch in my heart, I'm willing to turn from it. Repentance. And when we have a heart of repentance, it says that God helps us to prepare our heart. Step two is repentance. Step number three, go back to Ezra chapter 7. I know we've already read this verse, but let's read it again. Who will read it again for us? Ezra 7, verse 10. Noah, would you stand and read that? Ezra 7, verse 10 again. Ezra's one of those hard books to find. Kind of hides out on us. Go ahead, Noah. Now, we already saw that in that case, Ezra's heart preparation meant the difference between a return versus just staying the same. A great victory won. But notice what was involved in his heart preparation. says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach it. You understand that when you're a teacher that you learn more than your students because you have to really understand what you're saying before you're able to teach it. But what I see here in Ezra's life, and this is step number three, is that he spent quality time in God's Word. He gave attention to God's Word. And we have tried this week to create space for you, to create margin for you, so that you have the opportunity to spend quality time in God's Word. Is that just because we like to, you know, make camp not fun and miserable for you? Not at all. Because we understand that it's God's Word that will prepare your heart. And when you spend quality time in God's Word, your heart will be ready. Your eyes will be to the hand of your master. And you'll be ready to say, Jordan, right there. Josh, over there. Nathan, back there. Ready for God to direct you. Humility. Step number two, repentance. Step number three, quality time in God's Word. Let's go back to 1 Samuel, to that instance we read about there in 1 Samuel. The victory that the Israelites were able to win and the instructions that God gave them when the Philistines were threatening them. What did they need to do in order to prepare their hearts to seek after God? 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. Who will be able to read that again for us? Isaac, thank you. For stand, if you would, and read 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3. What was the instruction of Samuel to the people in order that their hearts would be prepared? What did he say? He said, put away the idols and Ashtaroth, who's the god of the one of the gods of the Philistines. Put away the idols. What is step four? It's idol removal. Where we examine our hearts and say, is there something that stands between me and God? Someone who does not have their heart prepared could care less. They haven't taken the time to even ask that question. They've got to have somebody, you know, confront them and stick their finger in their face like Rehoboam needed. He needed to kind of get whacked upside the head and be told, this is the problem in your life. Where we ought to be is over here with a prepared heart. God, would you show me what stands between me and you? Would you help me to see it? Would you help me to know what it is so I can deal with it? Because I want to hear from you. It's important to me. Is it important to you tonight to hear from God this week? I mean, personally, answer that question. Is it important to you? Are you willing to search your heart and do some idol removal? That's step number four. And one more step, 1 Chronicles 29, and look there in verse 18. I'll go ahead and read this one. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18. There's a fifth step. Step number five. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18. This is David's praise to God. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. You notice what David was praying for the people? He was asking God to do something in the hearts of the people. He was asking God that they might keep this forever in their heart and in their imagination, in their thoughts. What was that, what they were supposed to keep? Well, it was the commitment to the service of the Lord through this this prayer here in the as they began to offer these things for the temple to be built. David saw their commitment to service, and David said, God, would you help them to keep that commitment, to keep it in their heart, that they would continue having this giving spirit toward the Lord. Step five in preparing our heart is being committed to service, being committed to serving the Lord. That's what I want to do with my life. This is a really good environment, opportunity for you to set down the rails of your life like a train track. To put those rails down and to say, this is the kind of life I want to live. I want my life to be on the rails for Christ. I don't know what my career is going to be. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know how many kids I'm going to have. I don't know exactly where I'm going to live. I don't know how long I'm going to live. All the unknowns. But, you know, none of those things matter. What I want, and I'm laying down tracks right now as a young person, as a teenager, I'm laying those rails down because I want my life to be of service to God. You know what that is? That's looking to the hand of your master. What does he want? Commitment to service. And so that is how we do this. That is the practice of heart preparation. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. We want to look at the product of preparation. What comes as a result of heart preparation? Well, you know, we read about King Jehoshaphat. Remember him? He had made a mistake. He had messed up, gone the wrong way. God had to correct him, but he said, there's some good things found in you. You've prepared your heart. Do you know what Jehoshaphat found? Do you know what the product was for him? He found forgiveness. God forgave him because he had a heart prepared. You know, there may be some things in your life that are not right. You might have some royal mess ups, some real sin in your life that God points out. And the devil wants you to kind of get focused on that and go, oh, man, I can't believe I've done this. No one else has messed up as much as I can't serve the Lord like everyone else. I've messed up so bad. You know, if you prepare your heart to serve the Lord, guess what he offers? Forgiveness. Jehoshaphat, you messed up. You shouldn't have done that. But you know what? You prepared your heart to seek God. So there's forgiveness there for you. What did Ezra find? Because he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, what did Ezra find? Well, he found success. You know the rest of the story. He was able to take the nation of Israel, the remnant, and return. And he was able to see a reestablishment of worship there in the land of Israel once again after 70 long years of nothing. There was great accomplishment that came as a result. Why? Because Ezra was some great person? No, all he did was prepare his heart to seek the Lord. That was it. God brought accomplishment. How about Psalm chapter 10, verse 17? Let's go ahead and turn there. There's a product that the psalmist writes about. Psalm 10 and verse 17. We read this verse in the beginning. Lord, that thou hast heard the desire of the humble, thou wilt prepare their heart, that will cause thine ear to hear. Ooh, what a product there. What does God promise? When we are humbled before him, when we see our need before him, God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bow my ear down and I'm going to hear you. The product of heart preparation is answered prayer. I know some of you have been praying for this time and you have a burden on your heart that God might do some great works among us, that he would accomplish his will. And that's a true and genuine burden on your heart. If you prepare your heart, God promises to bow his ear, incline. He will cause his ear to hear, as it says there in verse 17, answers to prayer. And one more from John the Baptist's life. You remember Luke chapter 1? We read Luke 1:17. What was the product there? Because John preached repentance. He was preparing the hearts of the people. He was preparing them for what? For Jesus, right? He was preparing them for Jesus to come. He was preparing them, and this is exciting. John was preparing them to meet with God. And guess what happens? God does come, and the people meet with God. Do you want to meet with God this week? Is that a desire in your heart? Is that what you really want? Do you want to meet with God? Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Starts with humility. Begins with humility. Moves to being willing to repent. It goes to giving focus and attention to God's word. It continues on to being willing to turn over whatever idols, whatever things stand in between us and God. And it's willing to commit ourselves to service to Him. And when we do that, we'll find forgiveness. We'll find accomplishment. We'll find answers to prayer. We'll find ourselves meeting with God. And instead of having a life like Rehoboam, and God assessing their life, yeah, that young person, they went in that direction. They did evil because they prepared not their heart to seek the Lord. Now, I want the opposite, and I hope you want the opposite for your life. That young person, they did this, that, and the other thing in order to please God. They did it because their heart was prepared. Tonight, are you looking to the hand of your master? Looking for that direction from Him? Perhaps you came here with just a bunch of stuff going on in your life. You've kind of gotten distracted and just your mind has not been engaged on what God wants to do. There's time tonight to prepare your heart. There's time tonight for you to sit before God and say, I need you, God. I need you to speak to me. I need you to do something in my heart. I'm not going to be satisfied with just going through the motions and going through the week and it just being, yeah, we had fun and nothing's changed. I'm not satisfied with that. I want something more. I want to meet with you. You can meet with God. And if you prepare your heart to seek after God, you will meet with God. Amen. You will. Amen. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? And I want to challenge you.